Genesis chapter 25. Remember back in chapter 23, Sarah died, and Abraham buried Sarah in the cave of Machpelah. And we will see tonight that he too will be buried in that cave. Chapter 24 last week, again, when Abraham sent his servant to seek a wife for Isaac. And we saw in type the best typological chapter in the Bible, where Abraham represents God the Father sending out the servant, the Holy Spirit, to find a bride, that is the church, for Christ. A beautiful picture of God moving in that scene in Genesis chapter 24. But tonight, Genesis chapter 25 starts out, Abraham again took a wife, and her name was Keturah. And she bore him Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, probably the most famous of them all, the head of the Midianites, Ishbak, and Shua. Again, one of those families that you don't want to call for dinner. Jokshan produced Sheba and Dedan, and the sons of Dedan were Ashurim, Letshurim, and Letumimim. And the sons of Midian were Ephah, Epher, Hanak, Abidah, and Eldaah. And these were the children of Keturah. And Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac. But Abraham gave gifts to the sons of the concubines which Abraham had. And while he was still living, he sent them eastward away from Isaac his son to the country of the east, separating them from Isaac right before he died and giving Isaac all that he had. This is the sum of the years of Abraham's life which he lived, 175 years. Then Abraham breathed his last and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. And his sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah, which is before Mamre, in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar the Hittite, the field which Abraham purchased from the sons of Keph. There Abraham was buried and Sarah his wife. And it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac dwelt at Be'er Lahairoi. Now this is the genealogy of Ishmael, Abraham's son, whom Hagar the Egyptian, Sarah's maidservant, bore to Abraham. And these were the names of the sons of Ishmael by their names according to their generations. The firstborn of Ishmael, Nebajoth, then Kedar, Adbeel, and Mibsam, Mishma, Duma, Masa, Harar, Tema, Jetur, Naphish, and Kedama. These were the sons of Ishmael, and these were their names, by their towns and their settlements, 12 princesses according to their nations. Interesting, as corresponding to the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel, is that from Ishmael also came 12. These were the years of the life of Ishmael, 137 years, and he breathed his last and died, and was gathered to his people. They dwelt from Havilah as far as Shur, which is east of Egypt as you go towards Assyria. And he died in the presence of all of his brethren. This is the genealogy of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham produced Isaac. Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah as wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian, of Padan Aram, the sister of Laban, the Syrian. Now Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife, because she was barren. And the Lord granted his plea, and Rebekah his wife conceived. But the children struggled together within her, and she said, "If all is well, why am I this way?" So she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. Two peoples shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. Two nations already in a struggle within the womb. But notice the last phrase, which is very important as we follow this out in the coming weeks. The older shall serve the younger. Usually the older, the firstborn, receives the inheritance of the birthright, the firstborn. And God is already saying before they are born that the older shall serve the younger. But all the connivings that go on in between, because Esau will be born first, and then Jacob. And then we will study how all the connivings went on to get Jacob the birthright in place of Esau, his brother. God had already said so before they were even born, that the older would serve the younger. So when her days were fulfilled for her to give birth, indeed there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red. He was like a hairy garment all over. So they called his name Esau. And of course, Esau from the Hebrew means hairy. Afterward, his brother came out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel. So his knee, his heel. So his name was called Jacob. Jacob means heel catcher, supplanter. It has to do with more with deception than grabbing the heel. But he's called the heel catcher. Isaac was 60 years old. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. So the boys grew, and Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field. But Jacob was a mild man. He was quiet. He liked to dwell around the tents and not go out into the wilderness. Kind of an interesting scenario between these two. Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. So the story unfolds that after they were married, they waited 20 years, and Isaac prayed to the Lord for Rebekah to bear children. She did bear children. It was very evident that the Lord waited all that time in order for these two special men to be born, two nations who would be separated, would struggle. One should be stronger than the other. The older shall serve the younger. And after they were born, they were named Esau, which means hairy, or Jacob, and Jacob, which is called heel catcher or supplanter. That was 20 years after they were married. But the two boys, of course, Esau being the favorite of Isaac, because Esau was an outdoorsman, a hunter. And Isaac loved to eat from the game which he killed. But Jacob didn't like to go out in the wilderness, kind of like to stick around the house. And so he was the favorite of his mother because he helped around the house while Esau was out in the wilderness. Verses 29 through 34. All of this was introductory information leading us up to a lot of the things that we're going to study in the coming chapters. But verses 29 through 34 is one of the most enlightening sections of Scripture, especially in Genesis. Now Jacob cooked a stew. He was around the house. He liked to cook. He didn't like to go and, you know, why go out and hunt your game and go to all the trouble when... So Jacob cooked the stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, please feed me with the same red stew, for I am weary. Therefore his name was called Edom. It means red. But Jacob said, sell me your birthright as of this day. Now, interesting that as... And remember what God had prophesied, the older shall serve the younger. So Esau comes in. He is the older. He has the birthright, which means he gets double portions of everything. He inherits everything from his father when his father passes away, like Isaac did. So when he came in and was hungry, I would put more of an emphasis on the fact of desperate. When he came in and was hungry and was desperate, Jacob says to him, "Sell me your birthright as of this day." Esau wanted food. He was starving. He was weary. He says, "Some of that stew you're fixing." But he wanted his appetites fed. And he came in and said, "Give me something to eat." So Jacob said, "Sell me your birthright. I'll give you something to eat." And Esau said, "Behold, I am about to die. So what benefit shall this birthright be to me?" Then Jacob said, "Take an oath to me as of this day." So he took an oath to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of the beans or lentils. Then he ate and drank and arose and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Why did God prophesy ahead of time that the older shall serve the younger? It's because Esau despised his birthright and all the blessings that went with the firstborn. He did not want it. He chose rather to satisfy the temporary desperation and exchange the blessings of the birthright for it. So therefore Jacob acquired the birthright legally, not just by prophecy or promise of God. It's an interesting story in the light of what we do or the decisions we make in the blessings and the promises that God makes to us, and yet we choose to trade in the priorities of our first love in Christ to satisfy temporary needs, temporary desires, temporary desperations, all the things of the flesh. And Satan faces us with them all the time. When it comes time to hearing the word, comes time to top priority, and other things come up that have to do with taking care of the temporary or feeding self. Many, many times we are faced with making the choice to satisfy self rather than stay with the love and blessing of the Lord. Esau despised his birthright. And he sold it just to get some food to satisfy his desperation. Therefore, he despised his birthright. Next week, we'll get into chapter 26. Chapters 26 and 27. In fact, what I'd like to do with your response, what I'd like to do next week, since it is the Thursday prior to Easter Sunday, if you wouldn't mind, we have a short study on the crucifixion of Christ on Thursday night, as well as communion here on Thursday evening. If you would like that for a special time prior to Easter. It'd be a week from tonight. A week from tonight, we'll have some prayer and a study and a communion right here in the fellowship hall. So in 2 weeks, we'll pick up at Genesis chapter 26. Yes, sir.
Do you think Esau never did care much about his birthright?
No, didn't.
In other words, way back.
Right. Right.
No big deal.
No big deal. That's what the text indicates, which also indicates why the Lord said what he did. Not out of prejudice, but just knowing Esau prior to his birth. Okay, let's close with prayer. Lord, we thank you for this time tonight that we can fellowship with one another and share our concerns about your work here. We thank you for the opportunity to lift up our requests in prayer. We thank you for your word that presents not just history, but actual living events that actually happened. People involved, so very real. We identify ourselves with each and every one of them. And yet we see you working in their midst just as we see you working in our midst. We pray that you would help us to be aware of the decisions that we make, that we keep ourselves in the love of Christ, that we are aware of our decisions about the hearing of your word, meditating on your word, and Christ being our first love. Help us to see that many times we're faced with trading in what is that clear, free flow of your spirit in order to be satisfied with temporary desperations in this life. Temporary things. Things that won't last. We pray that you would help us to make the right decisions. We just thank you for your faithfulness that when we do not make correct decisions and choices, like Lot, you're so faithful to deliver us. You're so faithful in your love to discipline us, to get our priorities straight, put us on the right path. Just help us to make those wise choices to keep ourselves in the hearing and the influence of your Spirit through your word. We just pray in Jesus' name. Amen.